Business Truth with Benita Vergatini. Smile 90.4 FM.
Joining us this evening to examine the push to ban live animal exports and what it means for the ethics and the regulation of our food economy is Michelle Tabera. She's founder at the Stop Live Export SA. Michelle, good evening. Thank you for joining us.
Good evening, Benita. Thank you for having me.
Also joining us is Chairperson for the Animal Ethics and Welfare Committee at the South African Veterinary Association, SAVA, Dr. Bevan Meyer. Dr. Meyer, good evening. Thank you for your time tonight.
Good evening. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Dr. Meyer, SAVA shifted from supporting regulation to calling for a ban. What scientific or ethical evidence made or contributed to that shift?
I think there's a large amount of research available on the topic. A lot of it has been based on experience from other countries in other parts of the world and research that they've done, and struggling to find that regulations don't do what regulations are intended to do. But this most recent statement came about as a result of an internal SAVA poll asking our members about their opinions on live export. So that also reflected the change in opinions of our membership, which was by no means a uniform opinion, but the overwhelming majority stood for this.
Why do you feel is mortality rate an inadequate measure of animal welfare, and how should we as the public rethink what acceptable standards really mean?
Well, I think if you think back to simple things like torture in the medieval times, you didn't have to die in order to suffer. The whole point of torture is to make you suffer before you reach that point. And I think you can sort of draw similar parallels that you, by the time you die after such a prolonged experience, I think it's the experience itself that matters more than the death as a numerical figure.
Michelle, with growing public opposition, including 98% of submissions rejecting draft regulations, does that signal a shift in values in the country?
Well, I would hope so, Benito. You know, I think the majority of South Africans, certainly when it comes to live exports, are absolutely opposed to this practice. I mean, we saw that when the Al Kuwait ship docked here in Cape Town in 2024 and, you know, stunk out the entire city. People became aware, some of them for the very first time, that this practice is still going on. And there was an absolute public outcry. And, you know, everybody was sort of saying, how can we still be doing this in 2020, at that time, 2024? So, you know, I just think South Africans in particular, after everything that we've been through as a nation, you know, I think that something like live exports, where we are exploiting animals sometimes to the most extreme, or subjecting them to some of the most extreme forms of suffering for weeks and weeks on end, I think South Africans as a people don't want to see animals suffering in this way. And particularly for the majority of the reasons that's given by government as to why this trade hasn't been outlawed yet, it's all financial. You know, there's no doubt and there's no sort of argument from government as to whether animals suffer, but it's all around how is this going to affect our back pockets at the end of the day? What are the economics around if this practice stops?
Well, what are the strongest economic and ethical arguments for replacing live exports with local slaughter and meat exports?
Absolutely. You know, I mean, that is the logical answer. We have abattoirs in South Africa who are quite capable of, you know, meeting the requirements, even, you know, for meat going to the Middle East, where there have to be stringent halal requirements. And we do already export some chilled and frozen meat to those countries. So, you know, to us, it's kind of obvious solution is to just slaughter locally and export chilled or frozen carcasses and not subject these poor animals to weeks and weeks of suffering on live export ships.
Dr. Mayo, you wanted to add?
Well, I was just going to say the main financial argument in favor of this seems to be that the farmers get a greater price per head of sheep that are sold to the exporters. And there's been very limited economic research into the sort of knock-on effects that this would have in South Africa. To the best of my knowledge, there's only really been one paper that looked into this, and it sort of came up to a net neutral. If you do export, yes, and I think we have to acknowledge here that the people who will be benefiting from this are not your small farmers in communal lands. We're talking about the big industrial farmers here. And I think what we need to realize is that this would benefit the farmer and very few other people. But the farmers then pay taxes and so on. Whereas if we look at even building more or halal specific or whatever export regulation specific abattoirs, in the process of building those, you're employing people. By staffing those abattoirs, you're employing people. And we're looking at more of a trickle-down effect. And I do know, I've heard from abattoir owners in other parts of the country, you know, when we exported 50,000, 60,000 sheep a few years ago, that created a massive sort of shortage in lamb within South Africa, which meant that abattoirs in other parts of the country didn't actually have enough throughput of animals to carry their overheads, and then you actually lose jobs. So I think there's definitely a sort of a very close balance that you need to look at here from the financials. I don't think it's as clear cut as the exporters would have you make it out to be. And then, of course, there's a large body of scientific research talking about the welfare and the ethical perspectives of it.
Chairperson for the Animal Ethics and Welfare Committee at SAVA, that's the South African Veterinary Association. Dr. Bevan Mayer there joining us, also joining us this evening. Michelle Tabera, founder at Stop Live Exports SA. Bevan, from a vet standpoint, how significant are factors like heat stress and overcrowding and ammonia exposure in determining animal suffering?
Look, in theory, you can try and limit those factors, because if you don't travel through the certain hottest parts of the year, if you limit stocking density, if you have enough adequately staffed people, and if there's, you know, adequate waste removal mechanisms on board, it is possible to limit those. But then, you know, at what point does it become economically viable for the exporter? So also, you know, we don't really have any control over things like that. And should something go wrong in the middle of the ocean, there's absolutely nothing we can do. So those are what we call, you know, potential harms that may develop. But if they do develop, they are significant and will severely detriment animal welfare. But then you've got the inherent harms that are intrinsic to every single journey that happens. And that's literally the motion of the ocean, the noise on the ship, I mean, again, we can talk about stocking density as something to limit, but you know, the fact is these animals, for lack of a better term, get so seasick they can't stand to get to eat, and then they literally starve themselves to death on board. So from a veterinary perspective, there's a lot that needs to be taken very carefully into consideration. And even under the best possible circumstances, which then might not be economically viable, there's not so much that a vet can do to prevent certain factors that are intrinsic to the voyage itself.
Countries like Australia and New Zealand have increased restrictions. I think there are moves, in fact, to ban live exports. Not quite sure at which stage it is at yet. But what lessons should we draw from their decisions and processes?
Look, I think those countries have done extensive research, and a lot of what we've looked at has stemmed from work that other countries have done. And I think what we need to understand is that South Africa, for all of our goals and the gold standards that we want to set, we do face challenges in terms of implementation of normal regulations within our borders. And if countries with sophisticated legal systems and very advanced animal welfare policy and legislation are unable to regulate these conditions on board their ships internationally, I think we need to acknowledge our shortcomings and realize that we're not going to be able to either. And even if we were able to regulate and implement, regulations can only do so much. There's a limit to what regulations are able to prevent. So it's, in the best case scenario, in the perfect world, we'd be able to regulate this quite strictly. But even if we did, it would not negate the intrinsic harms.
Michelle, lastly then, what action do you feel government should take, and how urgent is this decision in preventing ongoing harm to animals?
Benito, so what we are calling for is an outright ban on the export of live animals by sea for slaughter. The government has released draft regulations for live animal exports by sea last year. That those regulations were open for public comment for just over a month. And they are in the process of reviewing all of the public submissions, of which they received 17,000. So that is an ongoing process, which is taking months, as you can imagine. It's taking them a very long time to work through every single comment, because that is what they are required to do in order to carry out the public participation process properly. And then at some point in time, the minister may release a revised version of the regulations. We're not sure, but what we are calling for is for the minister to withdraw those draft regulations and to regulate against the export of live animals by sea for slaughter.
How advanced is that call, Michelle?
So we have already made that call to government. We presented to the public, the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee for Agriculture last year in November. So we have already put forward our demands to government in that regard. If the public want to support the work that we're doing, they can go to our website, which is www.stopliveexport.co.za. On our website, you'll find a petition and other ways to get involved in supporting the work that we do. And for Cape Town-based listeners, there's also going to be a protest held this Saturday, organized by a number of large animal protection organizations, including Animal Law Reform, Humane World for Animals, Beauty Without Cruelty, where they are going to be protesting outside Parliament and handing over a memorandum to government to call for better constitutional protection of our animals. So if anybody would like to come along to that, they're also most welcome.
Just to confirm, SAVA supports the call for the ban on the live exports of animals?
Yes, that was the position taken by the SAVA Board of Directors and Federal Council after we polled our members internally.
Right. Chairperson for the Animal Ethics and Welfare Committee at SAVA, that's the South African Veterinary Association, Dr. Bevan Meyer. Dr. Meyer, thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure, and a huge thank you as well to founder at Stop Live Exports SA, Michelle Tabera. Michelle, thank you. Thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much, Benito, for having me on your show.